the good times roll. Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. On this podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, and executives.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll. Welcome to the All Ears podcast, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host, Logan Larson, the Colonels baseball operations manager. Joining me today is Colonels infielder and former Tennessee volunteer, Jake Rucker. Jake, thanks for taking some time this morning to talk with us.
Hey, thanks, Logan. Appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, at the time that we're recording this, we're right in the middle of a home series against Wisconsin. But I want to fast forward to this Monday. You guys are leaving at 9 a.m. to go to Lake County. It's the longest road trip in the league. How do you stay loose? What do you do to pass the time on these long road trips?
I mean, honestly, like, you can't really prepare for it just because how long it is, but it's just something you got to do for you to be able to make it to the big league. It's the minor league grind for a reason. So, I mean, probably just definitely watch a couple of movies on Netflix.
Yeah. Probably you have any like TV shows? Do you have any like go-to movies that you watch on road trips?
When Peaky Blinders came out, I was watching that a lot. That's a great show. But I haven't really gotten back into Netflix, so probably that long road trip will give me an excuse to get back on there.
Oh, yeah. Now, normally you guys leave on like a Tuesday, which is a game day. How do you prepare that way? Is it any different than like a normal game day? What's kind of the routine? Because you guys get there, pretty much unpack the bus and then jump right into things.
Yeah, so Tuesdays are definitely tough because, yeah, like you said, it's a travel day. So we just got to make sure once we get off the bus, get all our stuff off and kind of just get locked in for the game, just kind of get loose, get some stretching in, just trying to get your mind right, get your body woken up after a long bus trip. And so it's definitely important to just be able to definitely get some stretching in and definitely try to get ready for the game as soon as possible, just because in the past, I know that I've been able to kind of get loose, but some days I felt like super tired off road trips.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely can happen. I know a lot of the guys can definitely back me up on that. But
now, you played your college ball at the University of Tennessee. SEC baseball road trips, I'm sure, are crazy. How do those compare to the ones you do now in pro ball?
Some of them are pretty similar, but definitely like in the SEC, if we went to like a really far like road trip, we'd probably take a plane. So like we would go to like Florida, like the Florida Gators. And so we'd fly down there. We went to Arkansas my freshman year. So we flew over there as well, but definitely like some like longer road trips. Like we went to Vandy or like South Carolina. Those are pretty similar, I'd say. And so you just got to try to find a way to be able to lock in, get your body ready, and get ready for the game.
You were drafted in the 7th round last year. And so to go from like the large crowds of playing like 10,000 people to Fort Myers, where you don't necessarily have that big crowd, was that like an adjustment you had to make, or how does the crowd impact the game?
Yeah, it was. That's definitely a transition for sure. Just the SEC and like Tennessee I was so thankful for them, like all the fan base and stuff that backed us up every single game we played. Just being there for us to support. And so once we got like down to Fort Myers and Lowe, when there's maybe a couple hundred people there, it's definitely a transition for sure. And it's like kind of makes you realize, hey, this is Pro Bowl. Not as many people are going to watch you play. And so you just got to be able to work through it, grind through it. And so like here in high A, you'll go to a few places where they got 4,000 people, even here for the Colonels on that 4th of July day. That was insane.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since obviously I got into Pro Bowl. And so that was awesome. And I just love playing in front of a lot of people just because I just know that they're taking their time out of their day to come watch us play. And so you got to be able to play hard for them and be able to then for them to enjoy their experience at the ballpark.
So you were born in Nashville. Did you grow up there? Where'd you grow up at in Tennessee?
Yeah, I grew up like in a small town, like 20 minutes north of Nashville, maybe about like 4,000 people there, just small little country town. But yeah, just very thankful for all those people back home that supported me along the way.
Were you a Tennessee fan growing up?
I was a Vandy fan, actually.
Vandy fan?
Just because Vandy's in Nashville. And so, and I knew Coach Corbin, the baseball head baseball coach there, ever since I was like 12 years old. So definitely wanted to play for him, but just didn't really turn out for that to be, just because of like scholarship spots and whatnot. And they're all pretty full. And there's a bunch of shortstops committed at the time in my class. And I was like, oh man, I probably won't be able to play until like my junior year. And so kind of made the decision just to, well, I guess like Tennessee just came across when Coach Vitello got the job there. This is a crazy story. So I was playing on a tournament in McAllister, Oklahoma. And so it's called a Junior Sunbelt Classic. And I know a lot of people know what that tournament is, but we went to Central Arkansas to practice there. And Coach Vitello was the assistant at University of Arkansas at the time. Mm-hmm. And right when he got the job at Tennessee, like that day or the next day, he came to watch our team practice there. And he saw interest in me. And then when we went and played that tournament, he watched us play. And so it just took off from there. But I was just very thankful for him. And obviously it worked out too, because it was in state Tennessee. And so money wise was definitely a lot cheaper if I wanted to go out of state. So
did that allow your parents to come see you often in college then?
Oh yeah, for sure. Even though they're still busy with work at the time, they were still able to, it's only a 3-hour drive. And so they were able to make that trip sometimes from like big home games, like SEC series and stuff. So it was very convenient.
Yeah, that's good. Was there like when Tennessee came calling, was there another school you thought you were going to and then they came, or how did that kind of work?
Yeah, so I had a few more offers at the time, but they weren't like big name colleges. Definitely some like lower tier D1s, like a Belmont or Austin Peay, like smaller, like in-state schools that I was probably thinking about going to. But obviously Tennessee is my biggest offer at that time. And I mean, like, what else could you ask for in-state?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Best conference, whatnot. And so it was a no-brainer for sure.
In your pro career, you've played 4 different positions as well as DH. Is that kind of how things were in college, or were you kind of like the main guy at one spot?
Yeah, so I definitely didn't play that many positions, but I didn't play any outfield at all until I got here. So that was definitely a cool transition to experience. But my whole freshman year, I played second base, played some shortstop in the fall, but mainly second base. And then the next couple of years, I just played third, just because we had a pretty good shortstop in Liam Spence there for the last couple of years. And so, yeah, definitely like playing all these different positions has been awesome, and it's been helping me out with versatility wise and stuff. And so I can be more like active and be able to play more games too. So
now when you're the designated hitter, does that kind of, how does that change the way you approach a game? Does it change anything in your routine? How does that work?
I mean, honestly, some days, like if you do get the DH days, sometimes it feels like an off day just because you're not playing defense, but obviously you're still in the game and you're still getting at bats. And normally when you're a DH, you're probably going to be up like top of the order. So you kind of have to be locked in for that, but it's definitely tough just because you get in that bat, you just go right back to the dugout. Get in that bat, go right back to the dugout. You can't go out on the field. And so it's something that it's not an easy position to play, even though you're not playing defense, is if you wanted to call it that. So
you've played 9 games and left 13 at second, 32 at first, 54 at third. Is there a difference in the infield spots, or is it just ground balls a ground ball and make the play?
Yeah, at first, I didn't even play first at all until I got to pro ball as well. And so, like, just the different angle was a little tough. You see these big lefties come up. It's like, oh, man, he's about to hit one in my throat. But it's kind of similar to third base, where you kind of – it's like they call that the hot corner as well. And so it's definitely a weird transition at first, but just getting all the reps and stuff, like getting to practice and stuff, BP, just definitely getting all those reps can definitely help you out for sure. And that's what it's helped me with. And like the outfield, left field, obviously didn't play there until pro ball. So it's definitely very different. It's a very different game out there. You can kind of get lost at times just because you just feel like you're in no man's land out there in the outfield, but you just never know. You got to always pay attention every pitch because you never know when a ball's going to be hit at you. So
you got a small taste last year, 22 games at Fort Myers. You played 60 games there this year before getting called up here to Cedar Rapids. What does that process look like getting called up mid-season?
It is kind of interesting how it works. The day I got called up, it was just because obviously like down in Fort Myers, we won the first half, automatic playoff berth. And so definitely getting prepared for that. Brian Meyer, the guy down there, the manager, he came like to me like after we lost one game, just out of the blue, called me in his office and said, "Hey, you're going to Iowa." I was like, "What on earth?" Because it's something that just like hits you. It's like, wait, what? And so like it kind of changes your whole mentality of like when you're playing down in low A and now you got to go up to high A and fill in some spots there. And so it was definitely a weird transition, but it was honestly pretty cool because obviously not a lot of people go through that. And so I was just very thankful for that opportunity and just got to make the most of it up here. Cedar Rapids Colonels,
that the good times roll. Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better bedtime stories. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the exclusive Miracle Ear Advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that fit your needs and budget with free service and adjustments for life.
Your local Miracle Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Now, they use the minor leagues for experimental rules, things they may want to try in the big league someday. You've played at two levels this year, both that have different rules that they're trying out. Down in low A, you guys had the automatic strike zone, correct?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was honestly like when they first came out with it, we were all like, "Oh, this is going to be a joke, blah, blah, blah. This ain't going to be very good." But honestly, I honestly didn't mind it at all just because it kind of helped me out to get a feel for the strike zone. And at first it was a little wide, like side to side. I think it was like maybe 40 games in, they shrunk it like a little bit, but they still had a height to where like high pitches were called strikes. And some of them were like, "Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me." You know, like,
yeah,
that's just how it goes. But when they had that automatic strike zone, you can like look at your at bats and like where each pitch was like located at. Sometimes like there'll be like maybe a sliver of the ball, like say like we'd have like an ABS day. And so like the umpire would just go strictly off the robot. And so if that ball like barely nicked the strike zone at all, it's obviously probably a ball like in real life, if you'd call it a strike, it's like, "Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. I got screwed there." But I think now they're doing it down there to where like, I don't think there's going to be any days where the umpire just goes strictly off the strike zone. They're just doing straight challenge days. And so like what a challenge is each team gets three challenges per game and only the pitcher, catcher, and hitter can challenge during an at bat. If you get one wrong, you lose it. It's kind of like NFL, like where you like, if you challenge a rule, like you get rid of it. But if you win, you get it back. And so it's kind of made the game a little more interesting. Definitely not like in the college or like what we're doing up here now. But honestly, I didn't really mind it at all just because I got a pretty good feel of the strike zone.
Yeah, they showed us a few clips at a meeting one time of the challenge system. And it looked like it was pretty good. Like it didn't seem like the challenges took much time at all and it kept the game moving.
It was, yeah.
Now up here, the big rule is the shifts. You have to have two guys on each side of second base. Both have to be in the dirt. Are you a fan of the shift or do you like this setup?
I mean, honestly, I've kind of gotten used to it now, like all the reps we've done, all the games we played with it without the shift. And so honestly, I really don't mind it at all. But sometimes like when you see like multiple like at bats where guys on the other team will get hits in like that same spots where like, dude, I could have gotten there. Like if I was shifted like in the grass, or if I was shifted over towards shortstop more, like for wherever I'm playing, I was like, oh my gosh, I could have easily gotten that ball if I was in the shift, like if I was in the grass or whatnot. But I mean, it's just a part of it. All of us have gotten used to it pretty good amount just because of all the rest we've been taking and stuff every single game. So
now the pitch clock is at all levels. Have you gotten used to that, and has it changed the way you approach at bats at all?
So at first it was very tough down in low A, because obviously everything was still new for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so the people who, like, if we were on the road, if they were doing the pitch clock against us, they would just do it super fast. Like, we'd take a swing and we'd step out of the box and it's already at 12 seconds and you only get 5 seconds to get in the box. And so it was definitely hard at first, but yeah, that's something I've kind of gotten used to as well. It's just like when to control your breaths and just your like routines and stuff as you go through like each pitch of your at bat. But there are some times where you'll go to places where the pitch clock is just super fast and it's like, oh my gosh, I don't have time to think at all. And right. So obviously it's going to happen. It ain't going to be perfect every single time, but definitely probably have gotten used to it for sure.
As a player, is there a rule you'd like to see added, or a rule that they're doing here in the minor leagues that you'd like to see in the big leagues?
So like the pitch clock, for example, when there's runners on base, they bump it up 4 seconds. I think they should do that regardless, like even if there's no one on base at all, just give the hitter more time. Because obviously I like the idea of like the game going by quicker, like the pitch clock and stuff. I don't mind that at all. Mm-hmm. I just think just give us a couple extra seconds if there's like no one on compared to when we have like runners on base and stuff.
Yeah, we've talked about that here in the front office, where if you gave guys 18 seconds with no one on and then like 20 to like 22 with runners on, it would wouldn't take that much more time, and it would give guys a little bit more time to breathe out there.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get into some rapid fire questions here. What's your favorite movie?
The Sandlot.
Sandlot. What's your favorite pregame meal?
Probably Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. What about postgame? Same thing.
Culver's.
Culver's. That's a good choice. Yeah. What's your favorite baseball field that you've ever played at?
Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Little League World Series.
Oh, nice. When were you there?
2012.
Oh, nice.
Long time ago. Nice.
Who was your baseball hero growing up?
Jeter, definitely.
Nice.
Yankee fan growing up.
Nice. If you weren't playing baseball, what would you be doing?
Honestly, probably coaching somewhere. Definitely. Nice. In like baseball or basketball, probably.
So I saw you guys in the clubhouse the other day. You're debating between which was better, Zaxby's or Chick-fil-A. I'm going to give you a tougher question here. What if I could attend one Tennessee sporting event, what's better, Tennessee football or Tennessee basketball?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I'd probably say football, just because of how many people go to those games. You'll realize when you get there, it's like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people here. And once we do something good on the, when the football team like scores or like get an interception or something or get sacked, like the crowd just erupts. It's insane. It's like 102, 103,000 people there every single game. Super passionate fans. And so obviously basketball games are very fun too. They get like 12 to 15,000 people in that little arena.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
It's pretty loud in there too. And obviously they've been really good the past few years. And so it's both those games you'll experience very well. So
what's your college football playoff prediction? Who do you think's going to win it all this year?
I mean, honestly, I haven't really kept up with college football that much so far. For Tennessee-wise, I mean, I think they're going to be pretty solid this year. They got a crazy offense, you know, like top five offense, but they go so fast. I've witnessed it in person. Their defense has no time to breathe, and so they just get – it's just going to be a freaking scoring battle every single game. I mean, obviously, probably got – Ohio State, Alabama, one of those couple teams that will probably be up there again.
We just last week, you played at the Field of Dreams. What was that like?
I mean, that was one of the best experiences I've had in a while, like when I was, say, like Little Road Series. And obviously, I went to Omaha in college, but that was just a whole different experience just because obviously you're playing in the middle of a cornfield. Once we like before like everyone got there, it was just like us two teams and like not many like much media was there yet. You could hear something from a mile away. It was so quiet there. It was awesome. Like it makes you realize like how special it is like of a place to be there. And obviously like growing up watching the movie like 50 million times, like seeing the movie side as well. And like walking out of the corn just made me feel like I was like in the movie, you know? Yeah. And so it was definitely cool to be able to go there and play. And obviously I got to play every single inning there. I was very, very blessed for that, but definitely something obviously not a lot of people are going to be able to experience. And I don't think they're going to be able to do, they're not doing it anymore. And so that's something that definitely not a lot of people can experience. And that was just awesome.
All right. One last question for you. What's your best advice for young baseball players who want to get into pro ball?
I would say just be consistent. It's some days you're going to feel super tired. You're going to feel down. Like maybe one game you're going to just feel like the end of the world, but just try to be consistent. Just get strong in the weight room and just be able to be coachable, have a level-minded head, just to be able to get through the tough times, because pro ball isn't easy. And obviously like as a hitter, like the pitchers always have the advantage. And so you got to try to find a way. Yeah. Just try to be level-minded, just have a faith life to go back onto just in case you're down, and definitely try to make strong bonds with teammates and stuff that you experience throughout.
Yeah. Awesome. That sounds good. Thanks for joining us today. This has been another edition of the All Ears podcast presented by Miracle-Ear. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll. Hey, Colonels. Hey, Colonels.
This has been another episode of All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. This podcast was created by the Cedar Rapids Colonels and edited by Metro Studios. Logo created by Brandon Vacco and the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Thank you for listening.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll.